You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Can only come from you. Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we review the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters. In the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet, it gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, Conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Baba Oshi. Hotep family, hope you are well today. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. Hoping to, the weather was accommodating for you to do it, but of course, if it wasn't, then you know it had to be done. You got to get it done, and then, of course, you got it done. Well, of course, we know that the hurricane was serious, very devastating. I think over 60 people have died, about 20 here in Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina. Yeah, very devastating, family. Yeah. And what's interesting, family, is that as I said this a number of times, back when I was on the fire department at the kitchen table reading the local newspaper on an article about climate change, well, global warming is what they called it at the time. Global warming, climate change, global warming, whatever you want to call it. The devastation is real. And in that article, it said, this is what will happen if you don't heed these warnings. If you continue to use fossil fuels, if you continue to allow the planet to warm, you know, the greenhouse effect, these things happen. And of course, now you see what has been happening over these last few years. To serious devastation, not just in this country, but globally. But it's interesting in this country how the, you know, we all know that hurricanes, they don't happen on the west coast of Africa. They develop just like that route that our ancestors were forced to take in the hulls of those ships. Going westerly, which of course the currents will move you in that direction. And of course, as it comes into this part of the so-called Western Hemisphere, it builds because of the waters are so warm. Just like this previous hurricane, before it hit the United States, it went up into the Gulf of Mexico. The waters are warmer, and it came into the Gulf as a depression. No, I think it came in as a Category 1. But by the time it reached landfall, it was Category 4. So it was a Category 4 hurricane when it reached into Florida, into the panhandle, devastating Tallahassee, but more deeply because it swirls counterclockwise. And so all of that, you know, water and rain really hits the eastern side of it. So the Florida coast on the Gulf side was pounded. I mean, they were devastated as well has North Carolina and South Carolina. Asheville, North Carolina was, man, completely devastated. And so people are asked, are you going to rebuild? I mean,
a hurricane came through here a couple of years ago and leveled it. You know, some will say, yeah, I'm going to do it again. And insurance, some can't even get insurance. I don't know. So my line about the weather. And in this country, it's a lot of serious issues with weather. In the Midwest, the freezing temperatures and the snow and so forth. In the Northeast, these Northeasterns. In the West, snow and also, too, drought and forest fires. So, those are going to continue to happen, family. They're going to continue to happen. Yeah. And so those who wanted to continue on with fossil fuels because of the profits, the billions of dollars that they make, and the billions of dollars for shareholders, they don't give a damn. Anyway, let's go. This is African Perspective. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, brothers and sisters, you can go to the archives at timeforanawakening.com. Top of the page, you'll see podcast programs. Click on that. The drop down, you'll see African Perspectives. Click on that, and there will be programs that I dated and titled, thanks to my good brother and friend, Brother Kwaku. Appreciate you. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening. Once again, this program is Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And all times I give are Eastern times. Thursday. Man, like I say, I've said this before. We used to have a lot of programs when we first came on here. I've been on Time for an Awakening, I'd say 7-8 years. Yeah. Yeah. Thursday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mississippi on the Move, the Black Liberation Movement with Patrick Lumumba of the Geronimo Pratt Gun Club. Friday at 8 p.m., it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., the Sankofa Elders Council with Dr. Janine. Sunday at 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And the number to call is 215-490-9832. That's 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black, the largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses, is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans, Brother Bomani Tayemba. Africa for the Africans. And so upcoming is November 20th to December 2nd. Kemet is going to Kemet, November 20th to December 2nd. December 24th to January 4th, 2025, Azinia. April 4th to April 14th, 2025, Kenya. May 24th to June 5th, 2025, Ghana. The Tanzania and the Brazilian trip are the same dates. I'm not sure which one is which. So I'll give Brother Bomani a call and have him correct that. Usually he does that. So I don't know. We'll see. But that's Africa for the Africans. Brothers and sisters, if you want to see pictures of previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. Also, too, if you want to give him a call at 404-931-9429. That's 404-931-9429. 9429. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Habashah. Habashah Incorporated. That's right. Helping Africa by establishing schools at home and abroad. Habashah. They have a program that's going to be happening this month in Ghana on the 12th, October 12th. And that's a Saturday from noon to 6 p.m. In the Volta region, that's the eastern part of Ghana, the Volta region. Africa, Habashah Incorporated.org. Ledge, land for the environmental development for group economics. They deal in the area of vital, that is vital to human existence, which is food, water, clothing, and shelter. They have 12 projects in 6 different countries with over 170 employees, over 260 members. Brothers and sisters, go to the website, theledgegroup.com. Theledgegroup.com. Nathaniel Jordan, our minister of wellness. I believe he is still in Kenya. I'm going to contact Brother Ayo Kamathi, the irritated genius, to find out if there's some more information. I'd love to talk to him once he returns. He is the minister of wellness.
This call may be recorded or transcribed.
Go to his website, theministerofwellness.com. Theministerofwellness.com. Smy Pharmacy, SMAIFARMACY. Smy Pharmacy, Brother Jabril, his website looks really great. It's updated, a lot of new products. If you want to give him a call him at 770-765-7751. That's 770-765-7751. That's Smy Pharmacy, SMAIFARMACY, at gmail.com. My pharmacy. The Moses West Foundation and the atmospheric water generating system. He's asking that you help donate. He has choose an amount to give. Your donation can give people clean water every year. 100% funds project water. 100%. That's right. Okay, 100% of your donation. There's, you know, $10. You can do it monthly, $25, $50, $100, $250, whatever it is that you can do to donate. You want to make that donation monthly? Cool. If it's just one time, cool. Yeah. We develop and implement atmospheric water generation technology, AWG. To provide water, sanitation, and hygiene solutions worldwide, ensuring communities have access to essential services for health and well-being. The atmospheric water generation system. Build that system, put it in an area, it gathers up the moisture that is in the air into the machine. The machine separates it from any toxins. It only deals with the H2O molecule. Goes through a filterization process, a purification process, and then open the tap. Out comes clean, usable, drinkable water. Wow. And boy, in situations like what we just experienced, water is contaminated. The water all around people, there's water. But you can't drink it. It's contaminated. Yeah. All right, family. All right. Yeah. Well, Dada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar, located in the West End here in Atlanta, around Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard, in the West End, across the street from Soul Vegetarian Restaurant, up the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Well, Dada's, they have delicious smoothies and fruit drinks and dry goods and so forth. On weekends, Saturday and Sunday, they serve vegan dishes. That's what Dada's Healthy Marketing Juice Bar. The Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia. Love that sister. She's a beautiful sister. She really is. A bookstore. We need books. A lot of cities, even Milwaukee, doesn't have a bookstore anymore. Unless they have one that I don't know about. And, you know, if they do, rescue me if I'm wrong. Say, nah, Brother Oshie. They have a bookstore here. No, even Brother Claiborne at the Wisconsin Black Historical Society attempted to have a bookstore within his establishment. Reader's Choice, all kind of bookstores have come and gone. And another point is why a lot of us don't read. Well, some argue that, you know, the computer can, you know, do it for you, whatever. But the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, give Mama Nia a call at 404-346-3263. 404-346-3263. She has a fine selection of books, postcards, greeting cards, T-shirts, figurines, and so much more. Give her a call. The other bookstore we talk about or promote is the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore and Coffee Bar, serving delicious Cameroon boyo and other African coffees and teas and so forth. Brother Gazemde Ajamu, my good brother. The Black Dot is located in Lithonia, which is east of Atlanta. Jump on I-20, head east, take exit 74. That's Main Street going into Lithonia. When you exit, make a left onto Main Street, about a mile or so. On the left is the Black Dot Cultural Center Bookstore and Coffee Bar. Give Brother Gazemde a call at 770-305-6373. 770-305-6373. There is light in the Black Dot. Jump back in your car, head back the other direction. Now, instead of going north, you're going south. And then when you get to I-20, jump back on again, make a left. Once again, you're headed east. The next exit, exit 75, Turner Hill Road. Take the exit, make a right, and go down three lights, make another right, and on the left will be the new Black Wall Street Market. The new Black Wall Street Market. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People, which we promote, and every Thursday night they have their broadcast, at Thursday night broadcast, on Blog Talk Radio. That's blogtalkradio.com/ULU. From 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. on Thursday nights, Us Lifting Us. If you want to call to listen or call to give questions, comments, or concerns, dial 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people, in the spirit of Ujamaa Cooperative Economics. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop, not open on Mondays. Open Tuesday through Sunday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., 2910 Napier Avenue in Macon, Georgia. Give my good brother, Brother Bija, a call at 478-256-1166, 478-256-1166. Homeland Village and Cultural Gift Shop. He has it going on, believe me. Sun God Essentia, one-stop natural shop, located 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia, inside the International Discount Mall, booth 225. For more information, contact Shelly Amundset at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun God Essence, your one-stop natural shop. Sanjay-Haiti.org. Sanjay-Haiti.org. The work that Sister Gabby is doing in the island of Haiti is vital and important, working with those beautiful young children. Go to the website and check it out for yourself, family. Sonjay-Haiti.org. Sanjay-Haiti.org. All right. Baba Barudi, Mama Ya. That's right. Baba Barudi will be on October 14th. Not next Monday, but the Monday following. And we'll be happy to receive him. This month, well, tomorrow, today's the last day of September, September 30th. But tomorrow begins October 1st, and the month of October is a fundraising month for Baba Baruti and the Akabin Institute, the educational program. We humbly give thanks that this is our 25th school year, 25 years, a blessing that we know is a village achievement. As we look forward to our annual fundraising month, we ask for the continued support in keeping with the 25-year donation in increments of $25. If that's what you want to do, you want to make it ongoing, that would be great. But give at least 25, family. $25, $50, $75, $100 would be fitting. But all amounts are greatly appreciated. That's for sure. Annual fundraising. Yep. There's another event coming up in next month, November 3rd. Sexual Healing is a Sister Circle on a Saturday, November 3rd from 4 to 6. I always make these announcements for Baba Baruti and Mama Ya. They're beautiful people. So, yeah. The Inyasisim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. The Inyasisim. Dreaming of eating won't satisfy the hungry man, a Fulani proverb. Until we return to power over ourselves and arrest any and everything which has the possibilities of interfering with us being who we naturally are, there will be no respect within or from without. Until then, there will be no peace for us. We will continue to find ourselves locked in battles over whose politics are best for negotiating with evil. The given proven futility of these negotiations, there is one realization that we must accept through our fear and ignorance, which will allow us to break free from this ever-evasing treadmill. And that simple aphorism is that the actual proof that one individual people possess power is found in its actual exercise, not simply in loud, unfulfilled claims to it. You can talk all you want. Actions. Desire leads nowhere without power. Power is about choices. Having them. Power is the ability. Power is not voting. Power is not voting in this bullshit ass system. Power is not money. Power is not educational information. Because if the educational information you receive is flawed and inaccurate and untrue, no power. Power is the ability to define reality. That's what power is. Dr. Wade Noble's at our best definitive definition of power. Power is the ability to define reality. And the Europeans have taken it. Power is the ability to define reality. And then they said to accept our definition as if it's your own. They've imposed themselves on us. And we have accepted their definition as if it's our own. And the question that we need to ask ourselves is, who are we in Europeans' reality? First, we were the soulless people, no culture to speak of, justifying our captivity and our subjugation. Then we became the criminals, the thugs, the no-fit fathers, the no-fit mothers, the scourge. But who are we in our reality? That's the question. Power. The ability to define reality. Power is about choices, having them and withholding them. Sadly, for most Africans at this point in consciousness and Western society, the only exercise of power that we will ever be able to wield were the ability to aggress, be violent, and dominate without correction is the primary basis of self-esteem. It's cutting someone off in traffic And this is not power. It's merely misguided, reactive frustration, the kind of behavior produced by a deeply embedded subconscious fear of acting against those who are true violators, the European, the Caucasian, the Urugu, the Karaka. Generally speaking, whether as individuals, a people, or groups within a people, the power to be independently determined one's children's destiny is the most fundamental indicator of the possessions of power. Let me repeat that. Generally speaking, whether as individuals, a people, or groups within a people, the power to independently determine one's children's destiny is the most fundamental indicator of the possession of power. We have no idea. Because most of our children go to public schools. And even the public schools, no, even the private schools are not African schools. They're not African-centered. They're still dictated by the state in some regulatory system. Generally speaking, whether as individuals, a people, or groups within a people, the power to independently determine one's children's destiny is the most fundamental indicator of the possession of power. And it cannot be exercised without a military force that carries a clear, respected threat of harsh, effective retaliation. Dreaming will not give us this. Dreaming will not give us this. Affirm, I act to satisfy whatever hunger I may feel. Affirm, I act to satisfy whatever hunger I may feel. I say, family. September 30th. Even before birth, a mother can direct her thoughts and conduct as to bringing into the world either a genius or an idiot. Amy Jacques Garvey. There is no place more sacred than the womb, and nothing more important for the person growing in the womb than the mind that governs the body in which the womb is housed. We have always known this and have protected the person who possesses the womb accordingly. While much has changed in our humanity since our subsimilation into Urugu's dehumanized, misogynistic, abortion-focused reality, those who understand the connection between divinity, procreation, women, and the womb still revere the womb and the individuals blessed to be born with this sacred responsibility. Of course, with privilege comes responsibility, and correct, righteous education lies at the heart of every woman's duty to her pregnancy and child rearing. And while Ma'at demands balance, calling for men to fulfill their equivalent complementarity role in this process. It is the mother who lays the foundation as first teacher. It is the quality of her love, concern, and vision which is the determining factor. Only the mother emotionally and intellectually speaks directly to her unborn child, using her mind to nurture it into either a genius or an idiot. Affirm, I think and act in the interest of our children, born and unborn. Ashe. Affirm, I think and act in the best interests of our children, born and unborn. Brothers and sisters, once again, the Inyasasim of daily revolutionary thought. How important that is. Yeah, family, I'm going to talk today. I'm going to read from Identity, which is Baba Baruti's. I love this book. I really do. The Asili, the culture, society, and person. Frontline concepts in African-centered sociology. How we think. Identity is a sociological examination of who we are and who we should be in this world through an African-centered lens. In order to correctly progress, it is critically important to be familiar with the concepts of identifying vital social phenomena as they directly relate to us as individuals and us as a group. Definitions are central to any intelligent, worthwhile explanation of society and how it works, especially as it relates to those who live in it without clear, self-given, corrective identity, but who still recognize the need to empower themselves. And conceptual insights which clarify aspects of our social existence like spirit, nation, culture, worldview, civilization, socialization, community, family, ethics provide exceptional foundations for thinkers working to build such power. Forming these definitions for this purpose is the intent of identity. I say, to me, it's one of his best works. They're all great, brothers and sisters. You got to go to AkabinHouse.com. AkabinHouse.com and check out all the great books that Baba Baruti has to offer. Like I said, we look forward to him being on the program. Yeah. So I'm going to read that after I come back from the break. One of the things we'll talk about prior to upcoming to the break, of course, is the election process here. And this upcoming election. Now, for those like us, I know there's a lot of push for Kamala Harris to be elected, and I think she will be. I wouldn't vote for her. I wouldn't vote for her. Although she has identified with being African, being American African, more appropriately, her father was Jamaican, which is African, you know. So I wouldn't identify with that. So. Yeah, but oh, this is a nice piece. I'm gonna read that. But that's who she is. Her father was not Caucasian. Her mother was not Indian. And of course, if you know Indians from India, you know, to call the indigenous people of this country Indians is bullshit. It's part of what of that Columbus mess up, because they're not. And although for some Native Americans or indigenous people, that's why some of them didn't have a problem with the caricature and the caricatures of images that the European, you know, put out in cartoons and posters and so forth. And naming of mascots, and just like Atlanta Braves at Chief Nakahoma. And, of course, getting rid of the Washington Redskins, you know, name and logo. Some people have a problem with that. And then, of course, some of the cultural groups, because there were many. Some agreed and some didn't, because some were getting paid. So there was an internal battle there of why they didn't want to change the name. I didn't feel it was disrespectful. Please. You know. So, yeah. Oh, this is a good piece here. Let me read this. That's why. Not being a Christian does not mean that I'm an atheist. I am not. I do pray. However, rather than praying to the God of the enslavers of my ancestors, I demonstrate wisdom by choosing instead to pray to the God of my ancestors, my own ancestors. Moreover, I rightfully honor them when I pray to their God, which is also rightfully mine as well. Furthermore, our ancestors' connection with the Most High was established long before the names of Jehovah, Jesus, Muhammad, or even Buddha were ever uttered. Our ancestral system are the oldest. However, the way that our ancestors connected to the Most High was not through organized religions. It was through spirituality. They described it as being a personal oneness between the inner mind and that which we now know as God, an experience that no two individuals might verbalize the same. Some may say that it speaks to them from above. Some may say it comes from within. Some may also say that it comes through the mind, while others say through the heart. It doesn't matter, because in our true belief system, they are all correct. It is their own individual experiences and oneness with the Most High. Ashe. I know that for many, I know that for many, we have chosen at least two dominant ones, which is Christianity and Islam. And of course, there's a connection to both of those theologies through Judaism. And really, that shouldn't be the name of those things, because why? The letter J was not even added to the alphabet until the 1500s, you know, the 16th century, And so what were they before that? It couldn't be Jesus. It couldn't be Jehovah. It couldn't be Judah. It couldn't be Jerusalem. The letter J. Anyway, let us go on. Let us go on. If I can find that one other piece, I would be happy, but I doubt if I could. I'm going to take a chance. I'm taking a chance, family. I thought it was a pretty good piece, and of course, probably not. You know, when you go on Facebook and you find something, even if you don't send it to your page, it's not going to work. You're not going to be able to find it again for whatever reason. You know? Yeah. So I'm looking for it, but I can't find it. Yeah. That's not it. That's not it, Brother Oshie. Oh, yeah. Oh. Alana Van Sant and Oprah have been at it for quite a few years now. You know, they used to be tight. You know, Oprah used to have Alana Van Sant on the program all the time. And now she says, Oprah is worse than Diddy. Damn. Oprah is worse than Diddy. So I guess what I was looking for, family, you know, I can't find it. But that's okay. Is that right? On this day in 1960, the Flintstones debuted. Yeah, we always had a TV in the house, seemed like. And so I remember all of those things. Yeah. Yeah, we always had a TV. And so, since I'm going to give it up. Okay, I'll give it up. I can't find it. So there it is. Since I can't find it. This election is going to be something else, family. It really is. Like I said, I believe that she's going to win because him personally is so messed up that rational thinking people, and although I do believe that rationality is lacking, but for those who want the Project 2025 to be implemented, for those who want that dictatorial mindset to happen, but I don't think that's going to be put into, he definitely will not win the total number of votes. That hasn't happened in quite some time. And I based upon my recent research, I stand corrected. George W. Bush won a 51% back in 2004, something like that, when he came in, 2002, I don't know. So, but I said it didn't happen since Reagan, but he got his butt whipped after that anyway. But he did two terms, that idiot. And his partner, they should be held for war crimes. They allowed and they set up. It's an inside job. I've been saying it. So who was the president? Bush and Cheney. They set up 9/11. They allowed over 3,000 people and 343 firefighters to be killed. Their secretary, Donald Rumsfeld, had a press conference the day before, that Monday, about the amount of money, the trillions of dollars that were missing, was a trillion, a billion, whatever. And ironically, in the area of the Pentagon, where that would be, that information would be stored or taking place, was hit by a torpedo. No, not a plane, family. They didn't fly a plane. Because that's a serious insult of your intelligence if you believe a plane, a passenger plane that was commandeered and taken and flown into the, no. All you see is a damn hole. Because they want you to believe that the plane was flying so fast and so low that when the nose of that plane hit the Pentagon, that plane disintegrated and created a big hole. But so you don't see no wings, you don't see no tail, you don't see no, where's the engine at? That's right, family. It's in the rear. That's right. So you don't see no engine. But there were some pieces. Yeah. You have to make it look like it. Don't, if I'm going to say that's what happened, I got to make it look, even though I can't produce, I can't present at the crime scene all those things that would make it look like that's what it was. Man, I tell you, Now, what I was looking for, family, was a piece by this Caucasian who was addressing a class, full class, I'm not sure what school it was, talking about Haiti, talking about Haiti and talking about what those brothers and sisters went through and what they did. The information, of course, I understood and I knew, but the problem I have with, I don't have the problem with Caucasians because that's what they do. The problem I have is with is us consistently calling ourselves slaves, African slaves, calling ourselves slaves. Because what happens? You know, these people want to constantly put into the minds of us, because it's already further entrenched in their minds, that we ain't never been nothing but slaves. That word is synonymous with us. Just like the word Holocaust is synonymous with European Jews. Sometimes you can co-opt a phrase, a word, and so forth. And you become attached to that. And so when that word is spoken, or even that word is sounded, the image in your mind, that's what it conjures up. And so I've been fighting that for a long time. I always mention that in libation. We were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. Let me go to Mama Nabantu. I know that the Collard Green Festival was canceled this weekend, and it's going to happen in the month of October. Mama Nabantu, good morning still. How you doing?
Oh, yeah, still good morning. Got 2 minutes before the afternoon comes in.
That's right.
We use the word postpone and not cancel.
No, postpone. I apologize. Yes, postpone.
Yeah, because when people say cancel, then they say, oh.
That means it's not going to happen
at all.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
So we're talking about it's going to be postponed, mm-hmm. and we're praying it'll be at the same spot. But, you know, October is the month of spooks and all those things that they do on Halloween.
Right. Okay.
So, so we're waiting to hear from the church to see if things are available at the end of the month.
Okay. Well, as soon as you get word, come on back on the program and let's push and promote it, okay?
Ah, certainly will. Yes.
All right.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I look forward to it. All right, Mama Nabantu. Thank you, dear.
All right. You're welcome.
That's right. The Collard Green Festival is postponed, and the dates will be upcoming for the October celebration of the Collard Green Festival. And so we'll look forward to that. Okay. It is not canceled. It is postponed. We're going to go to a break. We come back from the break. We're going to talk about re-Africanization. Re-Africanization. Re-Africanization, yes. And, of course, I want you to join in on the conversation, you know, by dialing 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Brothers and sisters, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
about, babe. Dreaming last night like a man that has something to prove. I dream about me a jet black, babe. Cause I think of my life like that, sugar. Keeping my love on track, baby.
Listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you were listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Family. Yeah. From Baba Baruti's book, Identity. Excuse me. From Baba Baruti's book, Identity. Re-Africanization. That is a process that we as African people must go through. Some of us go through it on our own, and some of us have done it very well. Some of us are committed to re-Africanization because we are African people. We exemplify that. We're not Yorugu. We're not Europeans. It's not us. And I hate the fact that what they have did to us, what they have done to us, man, causes us to behave and act in the way that we do. It causes us to retaliate against one another, to hate ourselves and to hate each other. Re-Africanization. Africans in search of a true re-Africanization do not seek a partial or compromised return to our way. We seek a full, unqualified return to the nurturing spirit, consciousness, genius, and humanity of our ancestors. This is the path we chose to follow, no matter how difficult or impossible it may seem to those whose visions have been limited by the conditioned inability to recognize that nothing is impossible for the African genius. I repeat, to recognize that nothing is impossible for the African genius. We've seen the African genius on display for millenniums. When you look at Kemet, that's the African genius. When you look at other societies on the continent, the African genius. Some lost to the suffocating identity-less oblivion of vanquishment, hold their hands over their ears and scream to the heavens that we are grasping at impossibilities. But we know that the vision of a victorious people is never small. We know that there are no limits to the African genius. We know the stars. Again, as the prefix re implies, re-Africanization is a return home in thought, word, and deed. It is the re-becoming of what we already are, but which we have lost sight of due to circumstances beyond our control and often beyond our memory. Through the process of re-Africanization, we rise above those hateful forces set in motion, which compel us to voluntarily deny ourselves. As Kwame Nkrumah and Akua Nasu inform us, re-Africanization is the rediscovery, redefinition, and revitalization of the African reality and way of being. Throughout, re-Africanization is a healing process because through it, we return home. Re-Africanization is the process by which we, Africans, deliberately restore our consciousness. It involves the unrelenting struggle to embrace an uncontaminated Sankofian return to our cultural roots. And it is a righteous, beautiful struggle, which only comes about as a result of a serious, lifelong submersion into the study of our ancestral way and our evolving, practical, applied rebirth within. Furthermore, re-Africanization is the process whereby our thinking is elevated to the height of self-knowledge, where a true state of Pan-African National Socialism can come into existence of its own volition. Through it, we understand our nature and why our unique human civilized way as a people originally developed and unfolded as it did. Notwithstanding its symbiotic relationship with nation building, re-Africanization should be considered as more of the thinking and meditative aspect of our return home. So, while thought and words which give it life necessarily implies action in the African worldview, the greater balance in re-Africanization favors study and contemplation. Still, through this partially is not at the expense of actually creating the instruments and mechanisms out of which a sovereign nation is built. Again, our course without a philosophical foundation and matching working vocabulary, nothing of lasting quality will stand alone in the face of a conceptually sound, evasive enemy. No less important or cerebral, though, nation building is more of the actual implementation and realization of that thought. Ashe. Still, as some might rightfully say, there are inseparable concepts. Both involve thought and action, in that to know, for true Africans, it is to act. You got that, family? It is the act. It is doing the action to act. Re-Africanization, then, occurs within the framework of Sankofa, Our Sankofian return occurs when remembrance is facilitated through looking back to our traditions only and all they entail in order to define ourselves and our actions in the here and now. Without this, we remain unable to gather within that spectacular effort needed to create out of the morass of chaos a reality and future more fitting to who we are as a people. It is the actualization of our return to our center of gravity, our culture and spiritual mother, our beating heart, Africa. For in no other way can we become who we are except through spiritually and mentally becoming our ancestors. Since part of the re-Africanization process is reclaiming our native tongue, we should also reintroduce the Akan term, and I don't know how to pronounce it here, so, but what it means is purification. So the Akan term for purification, and it is a most appropriate descriptive for the process of re-Africanization. For re-Africanization is a full cleansing of the soul, purification, the soul, the mind, and the body. It is a conscious effort to remove what does not belong and bring back what was wrongly displaced. Within the re-Africanization process, balance is restored through the burning away of the useless, retarding European cultural domination to expose the timeless gold, African spirit and culture. Re-Africanization is the method whereby we submerge ourselves into and submit our consciousness to the will and the way of those who initiated and lived our personal in geocultural lineage. It is a psychological return to the source of spiritual and physical truth of who we are. It is again to be African. Moreover, re-Africanization occurs when we take what we are learning through this submersion and submission into triple Africanness, triple blackness, and begin to apply it to ourselves in the effort to change ourselves from that which we have been forced to imitate and exaggerate into our true selves, into our ancestors. It is a process brought with difficulty and hardship because our mental side is extensively rooted in Eurasian. And Eurasian being highly effective extensions and defense mechanisms of Urugu logically binds everything we have mentalitically come to believe with a reality which moves in opposition to our spirit and which through alien and anti-African has come to be accepted as logical, rational, and desirable. The anti-African crusade comes from without and within assaults on us from every possible angle and in virtually every thought to the point where it oftentimes overwhelming. But once we know we are African, once we know we are not European, nothing Eurasian brings can stop us from being who we are. Nothing, family. Ultimately, re-Africanization is how we rise into our African selves. Through it, we begin the conscious, collective process of changing our personable and family and communal environments to match our growing awareness of how an African world would and should feel for us in overcoming this harsh, despiritualized time and place. As we think as Africans we are, we become the Africans we have always been. Re-Africanization is a personal transformation. It is a return to self. We actually become our ancestors with time and the elevation of significant numbers of Africans into consciousness, it becomes a communal and then a global national transformation. Ashe. Ashe. We must go through a re-Africanization process, family. Because we... You know, there are so many of us who think that we can influence this to the point of acceptance for us as African people. No, we can influence this through the acceptance of us being Negroes. We can influence this with the acceptance of us being colored niggas, but we'll never be African in this. No. This is theirs, not ours. And it doesn't speak to us. It doesn't satisfy us as African people. In theirs, it will always be marginalized. In theirs, we will always be less than. In theirs, we will always, it may look like we're doing this, that, or the other, but in theirs, we will always, always be second. There's no equality. I don't want to be equal with the cracker. Because we equal with the, please. Nor do I want to be compared. I just want us to have what it was ours before all this madness came upon us. I just as the just what I read to you talks about, I want to be returned. I want the Sankofian return of us to be African. And just as I read to you about African spiritualization, we can't do this. You know, the religions that have been imposed upon us, and I'm speaking of not just Christianity, but also Islam. And I know some good Islamic brothers as well as I know some good Christian brothers. That's what you believe. If you want to believe that. But I think that what most important for us as African people, that's not what's going to make and help us as African people come to realization and to re-Africanize ourselves. It is not. Christianity's not going to do it. Islam is not going to do it. Us being a Buddhist or any other theology that is not African is not going to do it. And the problem, because of all of these factors, you know, I keep saying that I would love to see things happen in a way that are on the horizon for African people, that we're coming into that more and more. It becomes not something that is on the fringes, something that is outside. No, it's becoming a norm for us. But I don't see it at this time, of course. And I may not see it at the time that I'm about to expire. And that's unfortunate, but I still know that it will happen. I still know that we will return to our source. Because anything else, family, is going to mean our death, our extermination, our elimination. So, give us a call at 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Let me talk to my good brother, Brother Irv. Good afternoon, dear brother. How you doing?
Everything's good, Baba Oshi. How are you?
I'm well, man. I'm doing well.
Good. You're spitting knowledge this morning. You're spitting a lot of knowledge this morning, brother. I was thinking as you were speaking about everything African, and I noticed that for me, because I say it often on this program that you may not be in Africa, but Africa's in you.
Right.
I remember when I was studying in my discipline as a fireman, I knew the one guy told me, he said, the fireman is in you. We're just going to bring it out of you. It's already in you. You can be anything that you choose to be. And you could be a doctor, anything. It's already in you. You have the divine, the Most High has given you the ability to be anything you want to be. So Africa is already in me. I don't have to go looking for it, but what I found was that I always find something missing when I'm in someone else's house and I'm looking for my clothing or my language or the way I'm supposed to be when I'm in someone else's house.
Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. When you're in your house, you know, you find your thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, but we're in someone else's. Come on, we're in someone else's house, Baba Oji.
Yes.
And we're always going to. One brother says, "You Pan-African is always bringing up the past, always talking about the past." And I said to that individual that the past is something that gives us the foundation for the future.
I say.
In other words, how can you run a race if you don't know where the start line is? If you never knew where you started, then you don't know if you're in the middle of the race or the end of the race. Because what Arugu does is Arugu wants to erase your history.
Mm-hmm.
So you never know where you started. You started in Jamestown. No, you didn't. This, the United States is the youngest, I think it's the youngest country in the world, mm-hmm. supposedly. In other words, Africa was here before the United States even thought about being a capitalistic, demonic, sadistic bunch of white folks trying to conquer the world, before they even thought about that. So my point is, the point I'm making is, we are subliminally bombarded every day with religion, consumerism. You know, we're going to buy our way out of this.
Right.
We get enough cars and houses and enough hair and change our name, enough GQ clothing, we will look just like Arugu, and we will be equal to Arugu. No, you are a permanent underclass.
That's right.
In this country. And you will never, ever be anything more than that.
That's right.
If you believe you will, you probably will. Because this country teaches individualism.
Mm-hmm.
Oprah doing good, so we doing good. Tyler Perry took off his pantyhose, and now he a billionaire, so I'm doing, that's not true. You ain't rose no higher than the condition of your people. And we are still being manipulated, dragged by the nose with pearls and tennis shoe ball, all this foolishness that we're following like a bunch of sheep. Because Baba Oshie, I'm gonna stop after this. When you raise your children, you're either gonna raise a sheep or you're gonna raise a wolf. You get a child in the house that says, I want something to eat. That child will sit in the house all day till you come home and cook him something to eat.
Mm.
If you get another child that says, I'm hungry, that child will make a mayonnaise sandwich. Okay? So what are we raising, wolves or sheep?
Mm-hmm.
Are we raising, because a sheep will always need attention. You always have to, I'm going to pick him up, I'm going to take him here, I'm going to do, wait a minute. When I want somebody that beats me to practice, don't meet me at practice. Don't tell me you have to practice. You should be telling me, you ready to go?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to make sure that we raise warriors,
right,
and not imitate Arugu. You know, because you know the one thing that I heard when I was coming up really quickly was, I get all this and I didn't do anything. I'm an overnight sensation. Baba Oshie, I'm a 50-year overnight sensation. I didn't get like this overnight. Come on now. We have to realize there's nothing fantastic about, oh, he just woke up and started singing. There's nothing wrong with putting in the work. There's nothing wrong with reading a book. There's nothing wrong with studying and listening to your elders. You should not have to walk the same walk they walk. I should not have to be walking up and down the street with a sign that says I'm a man on my chest. That's already been done. The carpet of blood has been laid all the way from the transatlantic slave trade all the way across that ocean. I shouldn't have to do that again. We are not here to repeat over and over again, please, Mr. Rugu, help us. We're not. That's not what we are as Africans. The page is turning. And Rugu sees the page turning, and the internet is the trump card. Things happen in real time, and Rugu is realizing that the grip is loosening. He's losing that imperialistic grip on Africa. And they're starting to posture different. They're moving different. If you notice, the Jew done gone nuts. The Jew done lost his mind. He's going to kill his way into what he wants. I just kill all y'all, and we'll fix it.
Yeah.
See, so he done went crazy.
Yeah.
And then the rest of them are trying not to follow this Jew. But when the Jew pays for everything, and I said Jew, Jewish, okay? Because you're not the real Jew. Come on now. You're Jewish, you know?
Yeah.
You, so what's happening is they're moving different now. If you notice, white people used to just grab you on the side of the road on a Friday night, drinking some beer, just hung up one of them black faces. We hung them, and they put on hoods, because it had to be about 30 of them to one, because they can't fight you straight up. It's about 30 Klan members to one person, and they taking pictures like they're doing something fantastic.
Right.
And then you N-words, and I called you an N-word, you're going to imitate that, but we smoked that food. What you mean, we? Why didn't you fight them straight up? Where did you get that from? Who taught you that behavior?
Yeah, that mob mentality.
I don't know
mentality.
Where you got it from.
Yeah.
Come on now. You learned that from Irugu. You learned that from watching them Scarface movies and all these brainwashing classes that you took. That's all the movies are. The movie is teaching you. The movie's not entertaining you.
Right.
You may laugh, but it's teaching you that we set the bar. We tell you what's funny. We tell you what's serious. We tell you where to look. I need you to look here right now. No, I'm not looking at the flood because I know it's flooding. I'm not looking at the fire that's burning because I know those fires are burning. I'm looking at Africa. Mm. What's going on in Africa right now? Because you're still in the Congo. You're still in the Sudan. I don't see that on the news. I don't see that on the news. I don't see that. So no, Baba Oshi, don't fall for the okey-doke. When they say look right, you look left.
I say.
When they say this is what it is, you go check it out. You do your research.
Mm-hmm.
Because you'll find out that it's a game being run on American Africans. And that game that they're running on us is it's a mind game.
Mm-hmm.
And you say it every day on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Not the M-I-N-E, the M-I-N-D. They want your mind.
That's right.
And once they got that, we don't have to build a jail, bro. You don't even know where to fight. You don't even know we fighting. Oh, man, I'm doing good. Who does I'm? I'm doing good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let somebody else get in my boat. You
all
know
right,
how you don't want to
go. All right.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate, good words, brother. Good words, brother.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, that's my friend and brother, man. Yeah. Can't wait till he get his African name. But right now he's Brother Irv. Brother Irv Lewis from B-More. That's right. You know, the reality is this. And for us to realize and come into a mindset of re-Africanization, we have to cleanse ourselves. We have to go through a purification. If you remember me reading that part, there is a concept of purification. So you have to get rid and purge yourself of all that ignorance, of all that doubt, of all that concepts and ideas of inability to do what is right and to strongly stand on those principles. It just doesn't happen overnight. And it's not a magical transformation. It happens because you come into the realization that it's got to happen. It's who you are. I didn't become Oshiemi Adelabu overnight. But let me just say this. I still think and do the things that I do as Oshiemi Adelabu that I did as Eddie Brown. It is not the fact that I changed my name. It wasn't about a name change, although I believe in self-determination. But it's not what they call you. It's what you answer to. And so it's not about a name change. It's about a mind change. There are people who have been given beautiful names, very meaningful names, African names, Islamic names, family names, and they do heinous things, evil things, selfish. So it's not about a name. It is about a mind. Everything that we're dealing with is about the mind. Can we purge ourselves of this ignorance? Can we say we need more independent schools like Baba Baruti, and we are pooling our resources and our monies together to create that in other cities where we are predominant, in other areas where we are predominant? Can we do that? Developing curriculums, developing texts. Can we do that? Of course we can. The question is, as I emphasize this word all the time on this program, do we have the will? Do we have the will to do it? And when you come into your right mind, when you know that nothing else can influence you, you know there's nothing else outside of you, that you will be able to do this. Good afternoon.
Yeah, OC, I just wanted to do a quick wellness check on you. Your boys yesterday just stuffed the place up.
That was ridiculous.
Are you all I have to ask you first is, are you all right?
I'm cool. You know, I'm always
okay,
cool.
Now, what were we talking about today? Because I just tuned in.
Okay, we're talking about re-Africanization. That's what we're talking about today.
Is it re-Africanization from America to back home for American Negro?
That's what it has to be. Re-Africanization means that we take total responsibility of who we are as African people. We identify with our ancestors. We make the return. We cannot re-Africanize ourselves here. That can't happen. You know, I know there's been a few things that we have done here. You know, the Olutunji village in South Carolina, you know. But even at that, they've had issues happening out of that. Other programs that they tried to have where Africans come into where Africanization comes into existence to some degree, you know, aside from the Olutunji village, there's other. You can't sustain that. This is America. This is theirs, not ours. This is the land of individualism, materialism, greed, and violence.
Yeah, but the issue is when we speak about going back home, it has to be done in the right way. Number one, you have to identify where you're going and what the opportunities are for you and what you present to elevate where you're going. You just can't go back there and not present anything of substance. To go back there, like a lot of people from what I've been hearing lately is, are having problems when they go back as retirees, because they're in the mode to just go there and to relax and just live and things of that nature. And the indigenous people have problems with that, because what they're expecting is for you to go there and help the country build. And that right there is issues, because how do you help a country build? And what are you going to present to help the country build? Are you going to have collaboration with the people and things of that nature? That's why I always felt as though a country should be identified. And then in order to pull it off properly, I believe you have to take your most skilled people with a plan and an agenda to give the country something for it to grow and build. To me, it's just to me.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't do it that way, then it can't be successful. It's just like I've said to you years ago, that you got all of these so-called divine nine, sorority, fraternity, muckety-muckster Negroes who are unemployed, that a lot of them have all of the skills necessary to identify a place, to go there, to work with the government, and to really build up a country. You know, you're working hard for the white man here. You're doing all of his work and labor for him here. Why can't you collectively come together, identify a country, work with the government, ask for certain amenities, and build up that country? We have the skills. We have the skill sets. So that's the only way I see that working to benefit all of us.
See, the problem, of course,
it's not going to work. You know, even think about this. I think there's an Israelite group or something like that that went to Israel.
Yeah, Dimona, Israel.
They even had some issues. Yeah. So I would say it's a great idea. It's what our collective should do, and that's what we should be moving towards, because we have all of the necessary skills. It's just about identifying the country that we could work with the government, and then go there and say, what do we wish to turn the country into? If the country has certain mineral resources, what could be the possibility of collectively excavating and growing that industry and controlling it and doing the necessary things to use that resource to build up that country? I mean, just think about this. What if the Africans in Ghana came together and used, let's say, the Kente cloth industry to build up, and Americans work with them to market it, produce, and all of the necessary things to control it and move it forward into the other countries around the world? What if Nigeria did the right thing with all of the oil that they have, instead of just having a small group of people control all of that wealth? I mean, there's a lot of things, you know, that could be done, but it has to be a collective association between us and them to build it up, to be able to satisfy everyone's needs. Yeah. It just can't be about capitalism and American greedy nature. It has to be a cooperative that everyone benefits from it. And unfortunately, we need to do that, brother.
All right. All right. Thank you, my brother. Peace.
Thank you.
All right. Brother Ralph, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing, Brother Oshie?
I'm doing well. Good day.
And you know, I was hearing Brother Jay. I mean, hey, look, you know, he's absolutely right. Because when I visited Africa that time, or any country you go to, the first thing they want to know is how you're coming there to help them build that country. They're not looking for a bunch of people just coming over there saying, this is our home. So we do need a plan if we're going to go back. A lot of those countries over there, man, they tell you straight up, what do you have to offer? When the Chinese come here to this country, they already have their culture in place. They already have the way they want to do business, and they set up what is called Chinatown. Mm-hmm. A lot of Mexicans, when they come here, they have Mexican restaurants all over the place.
Yeah.
And they bring their culture with them. What are we going to bring except I'm home? And, you know, that's a serious question each and every one of us has to ask ourselves. Mm-hmm. When I was in the Bahamas and I was married to a previous wife, you know, she was a RN and I was a high voltage electrician. And what happened, they said they wanted us be citizens in Nassau. And I said no, because that's just one Britain versus, and you know, United States and Britain too. We just don't know.
Exactly. Oh no, it is. You're right.
Yeah. So what
culture are we going to take to these? We can't take this same violent culture that these knuckleheads and these other people are out here doing. We can't. We have to eliminate that. Like Marcus Garvey said, I do not intend to bring all Negroes That's back right. to Africa.
Right.
Because some Negroes are no good here.
That's right.
And some Negroes will be no good over there.
That's right, brother.
So there is a culture that we must develop as a people to make us beneficial to not only to that country, but to each other. Now, Jay was right. There is another Hebrew Israelite group that went to Ghana. They built schools. They built everything. Mm-hmm. You have to go as a group. Mm-hmm. But there are people there that go over there as individuals because that's what this culture right here teaches us to be, individual. And the Ghana government ripped them off. So crooked cops, everything. So the thing, no, this is a proven fact, Oshi, because I've heard some of these brothers go over there, invest a lot of money, only to be ripped off, man.
Believe me, I know.
So this is no laughing matter. So the thing about it, returning to our own kingdom, and I'm going to call it a kingdom, returning to a kingdom that is a kingdom for all that we develop and a culture. That's what we need to be talking about instead of I'm just going to go home and that's the issue. No. We have to develop something here. And, you know, and I'm going to bring this up, too, because you brought up the yin yang saying so. And at first, when you read, I mean, the brother was right. Voting, you know, voting and the, what good is that going to do us? And what good is Kamala Harris, even if she is us, which she ain't? And there's proven fact of that. She's got some Photoshops out there and everything. It's a proven fact she ain't. You know, all Jamaicans ain't so-called African. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the thing about it, we got to research what we're saying, man, and before we send it off to the masses, because the masses that want to believe in her going to grab it and run with it anyway. They don't give a damn. But if you do the proper research, that woman, man, she ain't got none of us in her. And even if she did, I wouldn't claim her. You know what I mean? So I'm just going by what I've researched on the woman. She was born into her mother and her thing. And she got a grandmother that she put up there with herself. But that woman is no more. That woman worked for their family. She wasn't no grandmother, but they just called her that. So, you know, there's a whole bunch of things that we have to uncover because, like I said before, brother, the same people running the show now are descendants of the ones that came out of Britain. Mm-hmm. They're the same ones.
Yeah.
Same lineage, and we don't seem to get it. And I'm going to say this, and I'm going to let the people know. Just because a politician is black, that politician has taken an oath to keep us a permanent underclass.
Yeah.
He just wants some money for himself.
Exactly.
And if they didn't want us as a permanent underclass, why they continue doing what they're doing? Their action speaks louder than their words. So I just say, like, let us develop a culture here. So we'll be valuable wherever we go.
I say.
So, you know, that's all I'm saying. And I got to agree with Jay. He was absolutely right, man.
Okay.
You know, just going back to the continent, they ain't going to do nothing. You know, we got to develop something here.
Yeah, and to bring it over there,
wherever we may
exactly.
go. Exactly. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I got you, brother.
All right, I'm going to continue listening.
Right on, brother. Peace. Thank you. Brother Paul, good afternoon.
Baba Ochi, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Good. Glad to hear that. Mm-hmm. Let me just say a shout out to Brother Kwaku. And he's probably listening. And I must say, man, that is an exceptional brother. Absolutely exceptional.
Yes, he is. I appreciate him. Yep.
Yeah. He's an exceptional brother, man. And I'm not easy. So for that brother, you know, we had a little engagement, and I really, really, absolutely appreciate the way he came off, man. It was brilliant. Mm-hmm. Brilliant.
Good.
Anyway, Baba Ochi, you know, when you were talking, I was thinking, and Brother Ralph said about not all Jamaicans are African. Listen, all Jamaicans, that's absolutely true. But 95% of the people who live in Jamaica are of African descent.
Mm-hmm.
Just like anywhere else, they may not all behave like they're African. But one of the things I thought of when he said that, I've heard of statistics, I can't verify it, but Jamaica probably has more churches per capita than anywhere in the Caribbean, or probably anywhere in the Western world. And
what denominations of churches? What kind of churches?
Well, all Seventh-day Adventists, all kind of churches. Okay. Seventh-day Adventists, I suppose, Baptists, all the usual derivations of Christianity.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't honestly say which is the most predominant one, but Christianity is Christianity, you know what I mean? Whether it's Catholicism, whether it's Seventh-day Baptist, whether it's Jehovah's Witness, sure. They all follow similar principles. They just divert into their different sections. You know what right. I mean? They all feed from the same sex.
Exactly. Go ahead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is, as most churches per capita on the anywhere in the Western world. And, you know, I've grown up in people who define themselves as Christian. My grandfather was a deacon. And, you know, I never, ever had a, you know, we go around there, I see Jesus Christ on the wall. But I never had a conversation with him ever about religion, not the way I talk. And it was a bit hypocritical, I thought, but I would never, whatever he said, I never challenged, ever.
Right. Okay.
And the reason being is because the way we were growing up. He was my mum's father, and I never felt able to ever say anything.
Okay.
Even, you know, if he said something, we were just growing up to have respect for the people who were older than us, and that's it. That was the end of it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I never, you know what I mean?
So they could say something as outlandish as hell, but, you know, you just be quiet and just let it pass. Yeah. You don't challenge them.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I was going to ask you a question based on that point. Yeah. I kind of see something, but I don't know if it applies to where you're at. I knew my grandparents, my mum and my dad's parents, and I also knew my mum's grandmother. So okay. She was my great grandmother. Mm-hmm. She came from Jamaica. I knew her. Mm-hmm. So I knew these people. One of the things which I think I've identified, I don't know if you're on the same wavelength here, is some things, right, may be controversial, some things which may have taken place. They kind of spoke in a code where they thought as a younger person wouldn't understand, meaning that, or they wouldn't actually speak about it in front of younger people, or maybe they would speak a very, very low tone. They wouldn't speak about it openly. You know, I mean, something controversial. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's some funny person in the family or something. Yeah, you know, do like your parents, do they have that kind of overstanding, like your parents' age group?
Not so much, but my mother's father, my grandfather, he was an evangelist, and I even remember as a little boy going around to different churches with him as he, you know, delivered the word, so to speak, you know. And, of course, there was no discussion with him about, you know, he said it, that's it, you know. So, and outside of that, we really weren't very religious. We were Christians, but my brother, he wound up being a minister, and for quite a long time, he was in the Church of God in Christ. You hip to the Church of God in Christ? They're more Orthodox Christian, very very strict and so forth. Well, he did something that was inappropriate, and so he went to the Baptist. You know, you can do shit in the Baptist church, get away with it, you know. So he became a Baptist minister. Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying to you, Baba Olchi? Outside of the religion, I'm talking more like a type of social behavior. Maybe I didn't articulate it well enough. What I'm suggesting is that, like, for instance, today we tend to talk openly about everything. Yeah, like,
right. Just okay.
People just spout out their business. It doesn't matter whether there's children around. It doesn't matter who's around. They just talk openly. You know what I mean? Everything just comes out. Jamaica, they have a saying: not everything good to how's it go? Not everything good to something is good to talk.
Okay.
Not everything good you hear is good to talk.
Right.
Yeah.
I got that.
And today we just kind of speak about anything. Doesn't matter what it is. But what I'm saying is, in your parents' generation, was that the case where they would just talk about anything openly in front of children or wherever?
Not so much. No.
Yeah.
No. I'm an older generation, you know. No, that wasn't the case. You know, as I
said, in your generation,
but in my generation, oh, whatever.
Right. Yeah. So things started to change.
Yes.
So I think right, what I've observed in, like, because I knew my grandparents, I observed what we've agreed on, that there was a type of they didn't really talk openly as such. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I noticed, like, my parents' generation, who's your generation, they were a bit different. They more open, talk about things.
Right.
To, like, my generation now, they just talk about anything. Everything's on the table, just spout it out, right? What I'm saying is, people would say that that's kind of advancement. They would say, oh, you know what I mean, whatever's on your mind, whatever. But I've often questioned this kind of behavior today. And I feel personally, my observation is almost as if we've gone backwards. Mm-hmm. Because I think that the reason why sometimes you don't pay attention to certain things, because the way I'm seeing it today is that we pay attention to things too much, which are really not our business or shouldn't concern us. And what happens is that I feel that what you pay attention to becomes your reality. And what I feel is what these people are doing, because they control the media, because they control all the outputs, they are deliberately and purposely putting things to distract people, which people are falling for like a bait. It's almost like a bait, like you would put a bait on it for a fish.
Sure,
And
people take the bait. They take the bait, yes.
And your attention then becomes... Mm-hmm. That reality. Your reality becomes that. But the reality of it is, that is not reality. Mm-hmm. You understand. It's not really reality. It's a false reality perpetrated by the mainstream mass manipulating media, along with the schooling falling system and the indoctrination.
Right.
And that indoctrination starts when you're a child. Yeah. So you're set up when you're a child. Okay, through the indoctrination. And by the time you become an adult, the mainstream mass manipulating media and all the texts and the books, even the universities and the colleges, there to indoctrinate you. So by that time, not everybody, but a lot of individuals talk, but they're not talking reality. Their reality is a false perception. I think Franklin Jones touched on this.
Mm-hmm.
I think he touched on this. Yeah, like he'll say things like, none of the ideas you have are your own. He'll say that.
Right.
Yeah. I don't fully agree with that, but because it depends on the different person. But sometimes when you observe certain people too, that you see them focus on things which you know the media, the mainstream mass media.
Right, has influenced them in and out. Right.
Indoctrinated them with.
Sure.
They've set the bait for them.
Yes.
They've set the bait.
And they've
taken it. So today, what I'm saying is, we no longer have that ability, a lot of us do not have that ability to just stay quiet, just not talk about it. It's almost as if it's compulsion. We can't not do it, not shut our mouths about certain things. We see it and we just compulsively rat on about it, not recognizing that that's a bait being set for you. And then that is now your reality. And you are speaking it like it's reality, and it's not reality. It's not reality. It's just... something which has been set for you. I don't know if you get where I'm coming from.
No, I do very well.
Yeah.
And
this is what our brother Franklin Jones, when he talks about social engineering. He calls it the social engineers. Yeah. But it's a powerful, powerful influence. And the last thing I want to say is that, and one of the things I've observed as well, we focus on, like we say, like, and I've heard you say it and others say it, like gangster rap. And I think, and I'm sorry for laughing, but and they say, well, rap music is the problem and this and all that. And then what I think of is, how can rap music be the problem, gangster rap be the problem, when we've had a Bible for 2,000 years, which is the total, and I know people ain't going to like this, but I have to speak the truth from my heart, whether people like it or not, because I'm not here to beg friends. The Bible is a complete fictional lie. And so if it's a lie, which it is a lie, it's absolute fiction. It's allegories, mythology, based on just complete fictions. Matthew, Luke, and John, none of these people existed. Okay, I mean, imagine a person down there in Africa, North Africa, named Matthew. I mean, it's just total madness. But the point I'm trying to make is, we think gangster rap is the problem, but yet you don't talk about the Bible is the problem. And the reason why we don't talk about the Bible is the problem, because we are so indoctrinated by it. You know, a person will, I hear people, and they'll come and they're doing good things, talking like they're conscious, then quoting scriptures. Then I know that their mind ain't there. Look, I ain't asking if their mind's there. I know your mind ain't there. And I know that sounds offensive, but it's the truth. My people are that. My people have been indoctrinated by that. Jamaica has more churches per capita than anywhere in the Western world. Total indoctrination. Total indoctrination. And these are my people. Absolute indoctrination by this thing what the white man's given us. And majority of us in the West, that's what we are. Gangster rap ain't the bloody problem. Christianity has killed more people than gangster rap can kill in million lifetimes. You not get that. You not understand that. And this is why I listen to people and I think, look, right, we're not in a dumb age. Christianity, when you look at Christianity through the Crusades, they murdered people wholesale. If you didn't accept Jesus Christ, you were killed, cut your throat, and murdered.
Sure.
That's it.
Sure.
That's Christianity.
Yeah.
And then let's talk about Islam again. Because we say we're Muslims and whatever.
Same thing.
We give ourselves Muslim. Same thing. When Islam came into Africa, it came by the sword.
That's right. Under the threat of death.
If you didn't accept their indoctrination, you were murdered, killed, castrated. Castrated the Africans, and we think
they're still doing it. They're still doing it. They just did it recently.
They're doing it today. This is the. Let me go back to the dum-dum zone. Let me talk back to the bloody dum-dum zone. And I hear these people talking. I'm thinking to myself, you know, in Yemen, they still are capturing Africans today. Look what happened in Lebanon the other day. Colonel Gaddafi. I know some people. Let's talk about Lebanon when it all broke down. They were capturing Africans, you know, and selling Africans.
Africans were trying to escape and they were taking the African men and castrating them and then sending them to Omar, United Arab Emirates, and so forth. Exactly, today.
Now, ask me a question, Baba Ochi. You're so good. Islamic friends, your so good ones, I hear you talk about, have they come to you? Bloody hell, that's a problem. Have they ever talked about that?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, my friend, Brother Muhammad Abdullah. Yeah. Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Right. Saudi Arabia. Let's talk about Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
You see what they're doing to Ethiopians there, right? Crossing the border, just looking for a better life. Look, this is what I'm saying. It's almost as if, right? It's some madness we're under. We're in some dum-dum zone.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Right? These things were brought into Africa to suppress and dictate and control our minds. And from that time to this, it's still doing it. So for me, when I hear people talk about, who get excited, gangster rap, oh, it's so bad, it's so terrible. The question I ask, who has murdered, killed, raped, totally indoctrinated, took over people's countries, robbed, steal? Is it Christianity or is it bloody gangster rap? That's the question I ask. Now, somebody, because there's how many millions of you, phone in and say, tell me I'm talking absolute S-H-I-T. Tell me that. Because I know as fact, because I've done the research, that ideology has killed and murdered, raped, tortured, indoctrinated more people on the planet than any gangster rap music. Let me tell you that for a fact.
That's right.
So when I hear people who claim to be conscious quoting scriptures, I know they're out of their goddamn minds. Thank you.
Okay, Brother Paul. We've come to the close of another program. I want to thank all those who have listened, all those who got on and contributed. Definitely my good brother, Brother Irv. The reason I point out Irv, because, you know, he's my guy, man. He's cool. So. But, you know, Paul, Jay, Brother Ralph, always, Mama Nabantu, all of you who've contributed. Appreciate you. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do it out, and they sure as hell don't want to pay for it. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Vahodie. Abibi Vahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day. See you on Wednesday, family. Hope you can be with us. Peace.